I will call the February 8th, 2017 City Council agenda meeting to order. To begin with, first of all, welcome Mr. T.C. Broadnax to your first
Second council?
Your second council. I should have done it to the first one. You're right. It's great to have you here. And I know for those of you that don't know, Mr. Broadnax joined on Wednesday of last week, but had been working pretty hard in two jobs for a while. So it's he's not starting from scratch, but there's a lot to get going. I mean, a lot to learn. And we want to support you in that and whatever you need from us. With that, we will begin with our invocation, following, and I'll lead the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, why don't you do that? Why don't you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, okay, after our invocation, if you don't mind. Our invocator this morning is Rabbi Adam Rothman of Congregation Sheretz Israel in Miss Gates District. Rabbi Rothman is the associate rabbi where he has served with his wife, Rabbi Ashira Wallach, for the past 3 years. Sheretz Israel is a large community with a proud history that dates back to its founding above an old grocery store on Elm Street in 1884. Rabbi Rothman was ordained at the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York and has also served congregations in Manhattan and South Orange, New Jersey. He is a graduate of Amherst and in Circle in the Square Theater School in New York with a certificate in musical theater performance. Rabbi Rothman has also served in the Jewish Community Relationship Council, where he led an interfaith Passover Seder for 400 attendees in multiple faith traditions. He lives in far north Dallas. I assume that's Miss Grayson's district, okay, with his daughter and his wife, Hannah. And importantly for Scott Goldstein, he loves the Orioles. So thank you for being here, Rabbi, and thank you for leading this important congregation. All stand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for inviting me, and thank all of you for the important work that you're doing for our city. Our God and God of our ancestors, grant us the will and the wherewithal to fulfill our city and our country's calling to justice, liberty, and equality. May each of us fulfill our responsibilities with care, generosity, and gratitude, ever conscious of the extraordinary blessing of freedom, ever mindful of our duties to one another. Bless those who volunteer to labor on behalf of us all. May they find the strength and courage to complete their tasks and fulfill their dreams. And may all who hold public office exercise their responsibilities with wisdom, fairness, and justice for all. Fill them with love and kindness, and bless them that they may walk with integrity on the paths of peace and righteousness. Creator and protector of all, watch over all those entrusted with our safety as they put their lives at risk to protect us and our freedoms. Be with them in times of danger. Give them courage to act with honor and dignity, as well as insight to do what is right in your eyes. Fill us all with the gifts of love and courage that we may create a world that reflects your glory. May each of us respond to the charge of your prophet, for what does God demand of you but to act justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. May the one who brings peace on high places bring peace and prosperity to the world and keep us in safety. And let us say together, amen.
Thank you. We will have our morning speakers. Before I do that, there was a issue that came up on the election and appointments of boards and commissions, and so we're going to break into executive session. We will not take that vote till at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We need to have an executive session on that matter first. But everything else is what we're going to do. So, Ms. Rios, introduce our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our first five registered speakers are Sandra Perkins, Regina Imbergia, Joanna Kedenek, Jay Malone, and Carol Bell Walton. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. Please stay to your time and allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you have any handouts, we recommend that you go ahead and distribute them to our officer, as attempting to distribute them at the time your name is called will affect the speaking time. Again, our first speaker is Sandra Perkins. Ms. Perkins, not present. Regina Imbergia. Ms. Imbergia will be followed by Joanna Kedenek, Jay Malone, Carol Bell Walton, and Ronnie Mestas.
Hello, my name is Regina Imbergia, and I live in the 14th District. Good morning, Mayor. And hi. In April 2015, I filed a lawsuit against you and the other 12 council members that voted to purchase the contaminated hydrofluorosilicic acid. You, Mayor, and the 12 other council members voted on January 28th after I and many others brought you before you our concerns. I was frustrated. With the 50 years of spending of millions of dollars for the unsafe and ineffective fluoridation program. Mayor, I read you were frustrated and filed a lawsuit against the pension board. You were quoted in the Dallas Morning News, December 5th, that you filed your lawsuit as a citizen in part because, quote, to protect the pockets of my fellow citizens and taxpayers, unquote. Well, hundreds of messages were sent to you and the council members, messages in person, by email, and through video tape from experts, appealing to you to look into the negative effects of fluoridation and the costs. A petition recommending it be stopped, signed by 1,800 people, and the Dallas poll conducted January 20th, 2015, by D Magazine, showed 72% wanted Dallas to stop fluoridation. We have been begging for a true investigation into the merits of the program, but you and the people in charge of the taxpayers' money keep signing off, and multi-millions have been spent. I have been told the cost of the program is dwarfed by your other big budget items. The money savings is not enough for council members to go against status quo. I have been told $1 million is not that much money. But just like with a household budget, the trickling of money adds up. I compare the Dallas City Council stewardship of the money spent on the fluoridation program as neglectful. The cost for the acid that is added to the water is just part of the money drain. It is like the person with the little public storage unit. It starts out $99 a month, sounds like a good idea, benefits of clearing the clutter as a healthy move. The cost gradually grows up. It's now $140. Not enough to sit down and really consider making a change. Then as 4 years go by, and it goes by fast, I've been coming here for 4 years, it's now over $6,500 you've paid in 4 years for that little storage unit. Mayor, you need to have the Quality of Life and Environment Committee take time to truly evaluate this program and see if it's worthy of the money that's being spent. Many studies have shown the benefits does not outweigh the harm and the cost. As you all know, Dallas does not have money to throw away. So we have the website, Dogs Against Fluoridation, FLUORIDATION.com. And I really appreciate, Mayor, if you would just look at some of the things we've done in the last 4 years. In the beginning, eyes were rolled and people just, it's status quo. But now you have a chance to look at it again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Joanna Kedenek. Ms. Kedenek will be followed by Jay Malone, Carol Bell Walton, and Ronnie Mestas. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mayor Rawlings and City Council members, for your service to this city. I wanted to be here today to publicly thank you and say how proud I am to be a citizen of Dallas and how proud I have been for the last 2 weeks. You see, I was one of the first people to arrive at DFW Airport when a friend on a Facebook thread said people were being detained. I made phone calls to immigration attorneys as I drove down the highway. And when I arrived, families wandered the terminal with roses still in their hands. My husband is Muslim. We are residents in your district, Mr. Kingston. 3 days after the inauguration, a Trump supporter down the street, a man who I hadn't seen in 2 years, proceeded to scream at me on the sidewalk. He called me an idiot and a moron. I was wearing yoga pants. That weekend, I bought a plane ticket to Washington, D.C., and joined the Women's March. A woman in Utah knitted my hat. That same woman heard about you, Mr. Rawlings, what you were doing in DFW Airport, and she has sent you a hat that I'd like to present to you today. But before you put it on, I must tell you, my mother-in-law arrives at DFW Airport in 2 weeks. She is from the Middle East. She is a green card holder. She speaks limited English. And now I live in a country where you can protest in a terminal one day and need those same protesters and lawyers for yourself the next. I want to also speak to you, not as a writer and educator, of which I am both, but as a citizen representing multiple progressive groups who oppose the Trump Hotel planned across the street. In your district, Mr. Medrano, Scion it may say on the outside, but it is Trump on the inside. Is the city ready to pay $400,000 a day for security? That's what New York City has to pay for Trump Hotel while he is a residence. Were neighboring businesses and the nearby church and soup kitchen part of the neighborhood opposition Dallas developer Larry Hamilton described? In St. Louis, that opposition took the form of hundreds of protesters last November, and plans for the hotel were soon scrapped. Are council members ready to be inundated with phone calls and letters? Because that is what is coming. The hotel is described as affordable and meant to attract young business travelers, but over 100 tech companies have said they oppose Trump, and NBA teams, like the Dallas Mavericks, say they won't stay at Trump hotels. This project may not need city money, but it should not get city support. We must commit to being a city that pushes back on all fronts, at our airports and downtown. Frankly, I didn't march in Washington, D.C. to come home to this nonsense. Will you rise with me and make Dallas a city that pushes back against illegal detentions, discrimination, and the Scion Hotel? Will you rise up, council members, audience, media, officers? We here in Dallas, in this room, are what make America great. We push back in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the hat. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
You. Mr. Kingston, you had a question?
I just wanted to thank Ms. Katnach for coming down and also to add my note of thanks to you for what you did to DFW.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Next speaker.
Your next speaker, Jay Malone. Mr. Malone will be followed by Carol Bell Walton and Ronnie Messis. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mayor Rawlings and City Council members. Your dedication to the citizens of the city is commendable. But after what I saw at DFW Airport, I decided I needed to come here to thank you personally. This is actually my first City Council meeting, so I'm pretty excited to be here. And I wanted to encourage you to continue your work to protect all citizens of Dallas and to support the Welcoming Communities resolution that was passed yesterday by the Dallas County Commissioners. So I moved to Dallas from Germany last August to be closer to my parents, who have lived here for the last 3 years. The month before I arrived, both our countries experienced loss. In Munich, a young man killed 9 people in a shopping mall before taking his own life. I was in Munich when this happened, and I remember speaking to my parents and learning to my shock and horror that they had just lived through the same thing. Just as in Munich, the people of Dallas came together to mourn, to grieve, and to pray. And out of tragedy, we were able to find hope. Hope that our communities are stronger than the hatred of those who seek to do us harm. Hope that we can do better and will do better. Hope in the ultimate good in the hearts of our neighbors. Mayor Rawlings, in your press conference on January 28th, you expressed your clear commitment to all the people of Dallas and followed these words with deeds when you met with the released detainees. Thank you for your bravery and standing up. Thank you for showing that hate has no place in North Dallas, in North Texas. Yesterday, the Dallas County Commissioners passed the Welcoming Communities resolution to show their commitment to the immigrants who have chosen to call Dallas home. I encourage you to show the country that Dallas can do better and will do better by supporting a resolution echoing the city of Dallas's commitment to its immigrant community. In the last 5 months, I've learned that even though I will never be a native Texan, I can be adopted. And I'm happy to be adopted by a city whose leaders are unabashed in their commitment to protecting all members of our community. I've seen the true nature of the people of Dallas, and it continues to give me hope that we will see our way through this, and we will emerge a stronger and more united community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Carol Bell Walton. Ms. Walton will be followed by Ronnie Messes.
Please.
Good morning. I'd like to first welcome Mr. Broadnax, or City Manager Broadnax, to Dallas. It's a pleasure to have you. You have a reputation for transparency, and I hope that carries through here. You'll have to maybe perhaps teach the difference between transparency and see-through shenanigans. As far as my history here goes, I tried to defend the parkland in Dallas. Several years ago, Mayor Rawlings tried to give away Winfrey Point and White Rock Lake to the Arboretum for a parking garage. It is still a park and not a parking garage. I spent the last year working against the illegal process of gifting Fair Park to Walt Heumann with $1 billion. I attended park board meeting after park board meeting, and what I saw there was failed leadership. Why was the leadership failed? Well, go to WFAA and look at the collusion memo between Walt Heumann and Max Wells. That's not secret. It was never addressed, and nothing was ever done about it. So Max Wells goes on vacation, and we can assume he's not going to come back, and he's going to resign. So somebody's going to be appointed in the interim to be the vice chair. Now, this is where it gets interesting, and this is where we go into executive session this afternoon, don't we? Because it came out yesterday, the conflict of interest that Mr. Johnson has to be named Park Board Vice Chair. He works for the man that runs the State Fair, the man's son that runs the State Fair of Texas. So even by Dallas's ethics standards, which I consider to be just wind, there is a financial connection here, and I will be pursuing an ethics charge against Mr. Johnson for his votes in the past because of his financial relationship that is dependent upon someone so very tied to the state fair as to be chairman. Many park board reps did nothing to fight this, but Jesse Marino stood up. Jesse Marino was a mensch in this whole process. He never lost his temper. He conducted himself very well. He's a man of integrity, but he refused to see Walt Heumann and the Dallas Citizens Council run all over Dallas. So now he is being ousted, and a man with ties to the state fair so thin that I can uncover them is going to be appointed. D Magazine writes an article about a conflict of interest. Yeah, it's there. So I would ask you in your executive session to really consider the conflicts of interest that were perpetuated on Facebook yesterday and picked up by D Magazine, and to vote for someone like Jesse Marino, who has the interest of the city in mind and not the person who has never voted in favor of the city, who actually pushed Walt Heumann's agenda. Please vote for Jesse Marino. A lot of your races are contested, and this vote this morning won't help.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Ronnie Messes.
Good morning, Mayor Rawlings.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Ronnie Mestas, 3215, the city council members. 3215 Red Street, Los Altos, in West Dallas. I'm the president of West Dallas 1 and the chair for the Los Altos Neighborhood Association. I come to make you aware of the housing problem, the crisis that we have in Dallas, if you're not aware of that already. Whatever the intent of the land bank issue is, I think we all know that it's not working. And there's a few things. I've met with a private contractor or builder, and he was very gracious and gave us a show, you know, like a show and tell, but not really a development plan. But there's still, there were some issues with that. And I took notes, because it was pretty serious for me to take notes and talk on the paper. But the balance of the building areas, we have five that are in one area that's a higher bracket. It's a higher bracket of the affordable income that they use. So five of those homes are going to be in that area, and one is in the lower, but it's not a lower income. It's in the middle bracket. So whatever percentage it is that by law, there's supposed to be a 30% adjustment or how they build in the areas, and that's not happening. And it's not just with this gentleman, but, you know, I think that's throughout this land bank issue. Also, when they're sold to, as we already know, to private developers, you know, where the nonprofits either do not pick up the properties or whatever, that there's no accountability, and that's already been, you know, out there. So it needs to be adjusted, and there needs to be some kind of accountability, which the stakeholders in West Dallas, the city, need to get together and work on this along with the new manager, city manager, and even Mr. Sims. I've spoken with Mr. Sims a couple of times, and I think it's something that can be worked out and adjusted. I guess the intent was there, to, you know, for whatever reason, it just wasn't done properly. One other thing is when they use this income bracket, this adjusted middle income for families, their income, it goes all the way to Denton County, you know, and it comes back around. I mean, it's not even in the West Dallas area, and that's my concern, is how that's adjusted with that wide area. So I don't know if we could condense it to a smaller area, to the Dallas Metroplex area, but, well, Dallas Metroplex, again, is way out there. And then one other point, six houses. Yeah, well, I guess I covered most of it. Just the area is also needs to be adjusted, but there is a problem, and we're willing to meet at any time, any place with all parties and stakeholders. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo asked for a public hearing in the land bank, and I think we're doing it next week, so you might want to come back next week and talk.
Yeah, we heard about that, but I'll be in Chicago.
Okay. So thanks for coming. Yeah,
thank you.
Your next speaker, Sandra Crenshaw. Not present. That concludes your speakers, and there are no registered speakers in the afternoon. For the record, the meeting was called to order at 9 o'clock a.m. We move now to agenda item number one, approval of minutes of the January 18, 2017 City Council meeting.
We got a motion and a second. Any edits? Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 17 and addendum items number 1 through 5. Agenda item number 9 was corrected on the addendum as it is a public subsidy item and requires individual consideration and 2 seconds for approval. Addendum item number 1 is pulled by Councilmember Grayson, and addendum item number 3 is pulled by Councilmember Clayton and Grayson. Therefore, remaining on your consent agenda for adoption are agenda items number 2 through 8, 10 through 17, addendum items 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you. Entertain a motion. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 9, 21, and 22. By making and seconding the motions, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination of the various factors and issues involved to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the items would require 2 seconds. Again, agenda item number 9 was corrected on the addendum. And that is to authorize number 1, rescinding resolution number 150291, which authorized a 75% real property tax abatement agreement for 8 years with PIHB Mountain Creek LLC, and number 2, a 75% business personal property tax abatement agreement for 8 years with PIHB Mountain Creek LLC and or Carbon Light Recycling LLC, a new business personal property to be located at 4685 Mountain Creek Parkway. Again, the item requires 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we approve this motion.
We got 2 seconds. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Okay, we move now to addendum item number 1 is authorize a one-year service contract with 2 one-year renewal options with Real Time Transport Corporation to provide transportation services to medical appointments within the City of Dallas for low and moderate income seniors. Council Member Grayson, pull the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs. We got a motion, second. Discussion, Mrs. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an item that provides transportation for seniors to get to medical appointments. Very, very good, very, very needed. My concern, or the point that I wanted to make, is that we have DART, which is a transit agency that we pay $250 million a year to provide transit and transportation. And although this item is, you could say, not a ton of money, it's about $200,000, senior services needs more money than they're getting. This $200,000 could go for some other very needed things, maybe more minor home repair. So my request would be that we ask our staff to work with DART staff and see if we can't get them to provide this service so that we don't have to provide it, because we're already spending so much money with DART. I would think they could help us provide this service. But I'll vote in favor of this, but I just wanted to ask our staff to be sure to get with DART and see if they can't get DART to accept these seniors and get them to their doctors. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Young.
I just want to second the comments of Ms. Grayson. Certainly, especially in the Far East Dallas portion of District 7, we have that concern, and I know that there's a group that is organized by our Senior Affairs Commissioner that has been meeting with DART and other commissioners from Senior Affairs that's talking about this issue and trying to figure out how we can better address the issue with DART. And so I just want to second your comments and hope that staff will take heed. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold?
Yes. I will also follow suit with those comments of Mrs. Grayson, Councilwoman Grayson and Young. But for me, following up with Councilwoman Grayson's comment on the Real Time Transport Corporation, I need someone to answer this question in terms of whether or not this was a bid or how do we go about determining this particular service.
Sorry, what was the question?
Real time, how do we determine, how did you select Real Time Transport Corporation?
It was a bid.
Or it was a
bid? Yeah, it was bidded out, yes.
All right. So, and just tell us a little bit about what stood out about their bid.
I'm sorry?
What were the guiding characteristics of this particular bid that stood out?
We had two respondents, Irving Holdings, who's the parent company to Yellow Cab and Real Time. We had a selection panel in place. We evaluate the criteria, and we thought that they were most responsive and at the best position to provide the level of service that we were looking for.
So there was no, are they, I guess the follow-up would be, was there a need to fill a void that DART couldn't do or not? How did you get to the point of just actually determining that you needed to provide extra service? That's number one. And number two, we can't do it right now, but I would like to know if we profile the communities of which these individuals would be serving.
Sure. Well, you know, under DART's paratransit program, they have to be physicians certified as being medically disabled and not able to ride DART's fixed route system, their rail system, or their bus system. So these are clients, by and large, who are low money income and aren't able to pay for a fee service. There's no shortage of services for seniors for a fee. But, you know, we've had this program for a number of years in-house, and this is the first time that we're outsourcing it.
So about how many patrons are you supporting with this $190,000? What is the projection?
So we're looking at about 25 trips a day or 6,500 trips per year. Under the prior program, we were doing about 15 trips a day or about 3,900 a year. So with this, under this initiative, we hope to nearly double our production at about a third of the cost.
So do you have, at this point, a dedicated group that you normally would support with this service?
Yes, ma'am. We have about over 1,200 people in our current database, 1,200 clients.
Can you disaggregate that data so we'll know which communities are really being served in terms of the city, northeast, south, and west, where you get most of your patrons? Could you get that for me?
Yes, we can provide you a breakout of clients by district.
All right. So I will once again underscore the support for the statement that Councilwoman Grayson made, because as she stated, we have a number of senior citizens who could benefit more from home repair and other services. I know I have several constituents right now who are in dire need of this additional support, and with better planning, perhaps DART can step in to fill that gap. So I wanted to make sure I went on record trying to get that, attempting to get clarity and clarification on this particular service. Thank you. And I will expect that information.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just want to echo the other comments, and there's a number of things that's done in the category of senior citizens that are paid for by the city that should be paid for other areas. One notably is obviously the transportation that we've expressed here. The other is, you know, dental services, you know, which in my viewpoint should be paid for by Parkland Hospital. Dallas, we get into too many other pots of money and then our money that we should be able to get paid by other sources. So that's something that's always a concern to me. Now, it's very well stated that $190,000, that's a lot of money. I need $100,000 just for security lighting on the Pleasant Oaks Park, for instance, that I could use for that. And I was hopeful I was going to get that on the bond campaign. But at any rate, these kinds of dollars are very important.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got a quick question. How do we plan to make it known that this service is available? How are we going to get the word out to individuals who could qualify for this service?
Well, again, we have about 1,200 folks in our database, so we'll let them know that, you know, the program is up and running again. We're a member of MyRide, which is a consortium of service providers, senior transportation providers. We'll communicate through them. We have a website. We'll provide, make sure that you all know. Yeah, and then also through our Senior Affairs Commission.
Right, because I'm glad you said, I was going to suggest that you get a flyer or something to us so we can send it out, because we have a number of constituents who could benefit from taking.
We'll be doing a mass email blast through our network of senior providers.
Thank you, Mr.
Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor. What is the source of these funds?
I'm sorry, source? General funds.
And has this always been a general fund item?
Yes.
But it's through housing.
So if you'll recall, it's housing and community services. And this particular line item, in the last budget cycle, the department recommended cutting the budget, which was originally $550. We removed it from in-house and then outsourced with a contract. So now it's at $190. It's still general funds. And as Kobe mentioned, that's the niche that we're trying to serve.
And that general, and so historically it's always been general fund. This wasn't an entitlement or something like that at one point. Didn't come out of our CDBG or anything like that historically?
No, it never came out of CDBG.
Okay. Could it be an authorized use of our CDBG funds or other entitlement funds?
Transportation is an eligible cost under the public service cap.
Okay. So maybe we need to be looking at using the federal funding for that. I noticed that in the contract provisions it has a recommendation for about 32,000 trips a year. What were we doing when we were spending $500,000 a year on it? Like last year, how many trips did they do?
Yeah, it's about 549. We were doing approximately 15 trips a day or 3,900 a year. But that also included vehicle leasing and staffing
3,900
costs.
A year or 39,000 a year?
I'm sorry, about 3,900 trips a year.
Okay.
As opposed to 6,500 that we're projecting now. But that 549 included staffing and also the leasing of vehicles, our fleet.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
So the motion on the floor is actually just to approve it, correct? But you're bringing some, Ms. Grayson's brought some concerns about if this is the best allocation of these funds. Is there a, would there be a problem if we delayed it? I mean, because I know, I thought this was part of this, you know, the seniors come and talk to us about senior services that we put in our budget, and I thought this was something that's important to them. So I would, before, I would be supportive of switching it. I would like to kind of understand their concerns and, you know, because I thought the senior kind of commission has said they want, this is something that the seniors need, and they've supported it. Is that true, or?
As far as I know, the Senior Affairs Commission does support it, yes.
Okay, so do, but would there be a problem with delaying it and deciding if this is the best use of funds?
Well, so the program, the city used to implement the program. We ended that September 30th. And we've been trying to get a contractor.
Okay, so there's been a delay in services currently.
There's been a delay in service, and we're eager to get the program up and running again.
Okay. All right, I just have hesitancy at this point, just denying this and then.
I don't think the motion is not.
I know, but that's. But I could not vote for it, and then that would be denying it.
Got it. So, all right, thanks. Thank you. I misunderstood. Mr. Wilson hasn't spoken yet. We'll let him first.
Thank you, Mayor. If I'm correct, you said that these are for individuals that are not able to ride DART services for transportation. Is that?
Yes. If they were paratransit eligible, then we would recommend that they use DART's paratransit program.
But these are outside of that?
Yeah. Again, in order to qualify for DART's program, you have to be physicians certified as having a medical disability that prevents you from taking their rail, using their rail or bus service. LogistiCare provides thousands of trips per day for seniors who have Medicaid. So if you don't have Medicaid, once again, you're out. Parkland provides services to Parkland, but you have to be located in one of four zip codes. So if you're not located in one of those zip codes, you're out. So it's that population that doesn't fit in any of those other categories that we are providing services for.
Okay, so this is more or less filling in the gaps.
Yes.
Okay. And if I'm correct, you said that this is possibly to be used for under CBDG funds or a way of?
Transportation services are an eligible category for the public service cap.
Okay.
Underneath the public service cap, you can pay for poor or people that are unable to pay for their transportation. You can produce a program out of the out of that public service.
And was this underneath that?
It has never been underneath.
It's never been. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't going to say anything, but I strongly encourage we move this forward because there's a lot of seniors that are waiting for this program to move forward. And being able to have that ability to go to the doctor, et cetera. And as we move it forward, we can have that discussion. And obviously you all are entitled to go to talk to the director of housing, et cetera, but let's think of our seniors. And I will share that I know that there's a lot of questions and concerns and being asked to the department, but I know that when we had our budget meetings, that was a big conversation in the area that I represent. So I strongly encourage that we move this item forward and we have further discussion. I mean, we can put it in the housing committee or whatever, but that we move, you know, this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes. First of all, with all due respect, I realize that we're engaged in this conversation about a new direction in terms of possibly for this program. Mr. Broadnax is with us here this morning, and I'm going to ask, as city manager, that he take the lead on this particular topic in terms of reassessing the direction of these transportation initiatives, especially as it relates to our seniors and the other communities of need. As we go back and as I continue to listen to your comments and the reference to DART, it is indeed appropriate for us to ask that an assessment of how DART is actually utilizing those transportation dollars to these communities of need. We have a situation where, and you all know this is a pet peeve that I have, where we have a trolley where individuals are not paying for transportation and someone is bearing the financial cost for that, and it's probably the city. So when that trolley rolls and there's no money generated from the patrons, It's coming out of someone's pocket, and that someone's pocket is the citizens of Dallas and the general fund. So the city is paying for a transportation project of which is serving very few people, two or three probably a day. And so now you're looking at how many people did you say need the service?
We're projecting 6,500 trips.
6,500 people, patrons. Do y'all have an idea of how many patrons?
So we currently have 1,200 folks.
All right. So we're looking at 1,200 that need an answer. Am I right? And
that's
I'm
right.
Looking on the other side at a project that DART is supporting, and I believe the city general operating fund is supporting with fewer than that. And so I think we need to step up to the plate. Yes, continue to serve these people here on this particular in this particular community, but also, city manager, when we look at our transportation needs in this city, especially DART and how it serves, I know that I want to make sure we're getting an adequate return on our investment. And that trolley is one that bothers me in terms of service to this community and communities of need. And I wanted to put that on the record for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor. I am just struggling with these numbers, the 6,500 trips, because on my little calculator, if you do 25 trips a day, 5 days a week, 260 days a year, that's 32,500 trips. So where are we paying $190,000 for 32,000 trips or $190,000 for 6,500 trips?
I think it's 25 trips a day at 260 days. A year comes to 6,500
trips you're right. I doubled
per
down.
Year.
You're right. I doubled
and actually,
down.
Actually, up to $190,000. The contract is $180,000.
Sorry, but you're right. I missed it. Is the vendor here? Real Time Transportation?
They were supposed to be here.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And I don't need to speak. I just want to make sure they're here. And I don't see any MWBE stuff on here.
We do have that. Would you?
We do have that. I mean, is this a minority vendor, or what percentages, or doing?
Yes, it is. This is Kamal with Real Time Transport Services.
Good morning.
I thought you had asked if
it's been. No, I just asked if it was here.
Oh, yes.
He's here. I just a lot of times we do these contracts and the vendors aren't even here. So thank you for being here. Appreciate that very much. So if y'all could just circulate a memo on the MWBE information on this, and I'm curious why it was not posted. Isn't that typical to post it or not? Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Mrs. Grayson.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that it was never my intent to deny this item or to delay this item. I merely wanted to make the point that I thought that we should start a discussion with DART about them doing this service instead of the city funding this service. I also really would prefer not to put senior transportation services under the public services part of community development block grants. That already has a cap on it. Everybody wants to put more things into public services. This is an item that could be done by DART, so let's not do it under CDBG. Got to make sure that's right because Mr. Kingston always corrects me. So I would not like to see it go under the public services portion. And I do think that, as this gentleman described, they have rules. And what we need to do is engage in a conversation with them so they change their rules and provide transportation for these seniors. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGue.
I just want to add my voice to what Ms. Grayson has said and Mr. Brodnick, because I think it may be appropriate to ask for a briefing from DART to actually address this question specifically, as well as an update on how they are using our resolution that we passed from the City Council unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson, for clarifying that, because I was a little unsure if it had failed, if you wanted to make a motion to use these sources somewhere else. So you cleared that. I know. I think these are good discussions we're having because this is, you know, we're saying, you know, we're spending this money, but it's kind of it's allocated in our budget, and so then you went out and got the RFP. So now if we denied it, it's kind of we needed to put the make these discussions in the budget process. So another suggestion for Mr. Brodnick says this is, you know, when we're discussing going forward next year, is like, are these the kind of things that we want to see in our budget? I mean, you know, how are we spending senior services and how are we deploying those dollars? And if it's for transportation, we just might have a policy. We're not going to do transportation things because we pay a lot of money into DART, and we're going to expect DART to do that. So, but at this point, and I'm going to be supportive, but I do, I'm challenged that it should be included in the budget going forward or not. So thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Grayson, for your clarifying comments. And since we're clarifying, I just want to say this is the very same reason why I say that we need to we should come up with a comprehensive transportation plan for the city. We're talking about what DART could be doing or should be doing, as well as our public transportation options and normal transportation options. This would fall underneath that. So this would give great direction so that we can minimize these types of discussions. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 3 is authorize a 20-year license agreement with the Old Lake Highlands Neighborhood Association for approximately 930 square feet of land in Norbert Park, located near the intersection of Klassen Drive and Northwest Highway. Council members Clayton and Grayson pull the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Clayton.
I'm going to move to postpone indefinitely with comments, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, and postpone indefinitely. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We have a second. Is it Mr. Kingston seconded? Thank you. Please proceed.
So this is an issue where it's on parkland, and there's already a monument sign there. I'm postponing it, one, because I haven't been able to get consensus with the neighborhood on this yet. And two, we need to get some clarity, and I know Ms. Grayson's going to comment on this as well, about how there's a different standard for, we passed at the council where we were taking down monument signs from 1,000 to, I believe, 100. But then on this, the park department or park board went with a different number. And so it's kind of an issue of fundamental fairness. And of course, Ms. Grayson caught it because she catches everything. Mr. Brodnax, if you don't mind, with your new fancy keychain that you get for being city manager, if you don't mind going to the basement and getting out the Enigma machine so I can start fooling Sandy on stuff, I would really appreciate that. But I'm definitely going to postpone this and bring it back to council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Yeah, as Mr. Clayton referenced, I just thought that we ought to have kind of a uniform policy and not have one policy for the city council to okay these kinds of things at $100 and then have the park board okay them for $10. So I just think that, you know, my request would be that we get together and we have a consistent uniform policy for these kinds of things with monument signs on city land. And it shouldn't be different just because it's park land.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Can agenda item number 18 is held to the afternoon. Agenda item 19 is authorized number 1, approval of the development plan submitted to the Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation by CNC Corporation for the construction of houses. Number 2, the sale of 10 vacant lots from Dallas Housing Acquisition Development Corporation to CNC Corporation. And number 3, execution of a release of lien for any non-tax liens on the 10 properties that may have been filed by the city.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 20 is authorized number 1, approval of the development plan submitted to the Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation by Confia Homes, LLC for the construction of houses. Number 2, the sale of 6 vacant lots from Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation to Confia Homes, LLC. And number 3, execution of a release of lien for any non-tax liens on the 6 properties that may have been filed by the city.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs. The motion is second. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 21 is authorize a Chapter 380 e-commerce sales tax grant agreement with Chewy, Inc. to provide a 10-year e-commerce grant equal to 50% of the e-commerce sales tax paid annually by Chewy.com customers to the City of Dallas for a 10-year period beginning March 1, 2017 through February 28, 2027. from its lease facility at 7243 Grady Niebler Road in Dallas. The item requires 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Mayor, I move approval on item 21.
Second. A motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Callahan.
No.
Oh. Oh, we need 2 seconds. Mr. Thomas was the second.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. No discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 22 is authorize a historic preservation tax exemption for the Lakewood Theater building located at 1825 Abrams Road for a 10-year period on the added value of the land and structure. 2 seconds are required for adoption.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, I move approval, and I do have comments on this item.
Okay. Got a motion and a second, and who's the Mr. Kleiman? Okay, great. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I've just wondered why it took so long to get this back for a final vote. It just seemed like this has creeped on forever. So, obviously, I'm very much in favor of it. I think it's going to be very useful, and it's going to be a good thing for Lakewood Theater, but I just wonder why it's taken so long. Would anybody care to answer that? Why?
Mr. Kossum is coming to the mic.
Yes, sir. What was previously approved by council was the historic district overlay. So once that is established, it gives the applicant the right to come in and submit for this tax benefit. But that's dependent upon the applicant coming up with his numbers, his estimates, and his receipts in order to process this forward. So you'll see a lag time from the adoption of the historic district itself and when this actually comes forward. So we're dependent upon the applicant making a submittal and proving up the investment in the property for us to consider this.
I think this was August, if my memory serves me, when we first looked at this.
The original zoning case, I'd have to get back with you, but it's been a little over a year now, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay, that's it. Thank
sure.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is an ordinance ordering a general election to be held in the City of Dallas on Saturday, May 6, 2017, for the purpose of electing 14 members of the City Council to represent Districts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 for the term beginning June 19, 2017.
Motion is second. You guys want to talk whether we want to have elections or not? Okay. I guess we need to. All in favor say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to read what we're going to talk about in executive session. So if we could start that executive session at 10 o'clock, we'll hopefully be an hour, and then we'll come back at 1 o'clock, and we'll take up boards and commissions. It is 9:53 on February 28th. City Council now going to the closed session of Section 551 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on legal issues related to the Dallas Police and Fire System, and under Section 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, personnel matters to discuss the board and commission appointment of Hassani Burton on the Animal Advisory Commission. That's all we're going to be talking about, no other issues. And so I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Okay? Thank you.
Recess at 9:53?
Yes. Thank you. Good afternoon. The City Council has completed its closed sessions under Section 551071 and 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and at 1:03 p.m. on February 8, 2017, we've returned into open session. I think we were going to start the afternoon with item number 18. We had a Texas Open Meetings Act executive session on Hassani Burton this morning on that subject. All right. Ms. Rios, cheers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Agenda item 18 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There has been a change from the memorandum you received yesterday. A couple of appoint nominees have been held over to our next meeting. So for individual appointment, you have to the Animal Advisory Commission. Hassani Burton is nominated by Councilmember Young and meets the general public qualification. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Lacey L. Durham is nominated by Councilmember Young. To the Landmark Commission, Evelyn Montgomery is nominated by Councilmember Medrano and meets the historic preservation qualification. To the Park and Recreation Board, Jesus A. Moreno is nominated by Councilmember Medrano. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Jerry C. Baker is nominated by Councilmember McGee and meets the 55-plus age requirement. For a chair appointment nominated by Mayor Rawlings, we have Chaquan A. Lewis nominated for the chair to the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board. The other nominee will be a valid vote.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Your next nominees, we do have two nominees for vice chair to the Park and Recreation Board.
So I'm sorry. So we're holding over
the NFC, yes.
The NFC. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So for vice chair to the Park and Recreation Board, your two nominees are Sean D. Johnson, nominated by Councilmember Young, and Jesus Moreno Jr., nominated by Councilmember Drano. We will distribute the ballots at this time. After you have cast your vote, please hold your ballot up. We'll count them, and then the item will be held to later in the meeting to allow calculation of the results.
Thank you.
Okay, we picked up the ballots. We move now to agenda item number 19, and that is authorized number one, approval of the development plan. I'm sorry, I need to go to the zoning. My apologies on that one.
We already did that one, yeah.
Trying to recreate the morning star. We're going to go now to your consent zoning docket. On your zoning consent, let me restart. We do have a couple of items for deferral. Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson would like to be recognized on agenda item 26.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to defer this item to the March 22nd. Number 26. Item number 26, I move to defer to the March 22nd agenda meeting.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mayor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson would like to be recognized on agenda item 27.
Mr. Wilson. 26 or 27? He just did 26.
He did 26 and then 27, was my understanding.
That's Mr. Griggs. Just 26.
I'm 27.
Are you 27? My apologies.
Yes, yeah, we are.
All right. Are you saying Mr. Griggs needs to?
Well, I was informed that it was going to be deferred.
Yes.
So yeah, sorry, yeah. Mr. Griggs said.
I move to defer this item to the February 22nd, 2017 City Council meeting.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Now we move to your zoning consent, and they are agendas item number 23 through 25. Agenda item 24 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Gates. Therefore, remaining on your zoning consent, we have agenda items 23 and 25. Those items will be read collectively, after which speakers will be called.
Have to ask a process question. Ms. Arnold missed the vote on the other thing, so does that mean she doesn't vote, or does...
Well, we consider her absent when vote taken, but if council concedes, we can certainly give her the ballot on the board and commission.
So moved. Do we have second? Second. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right, go ahead and give her a ballot. Thank you.
We'll bring you the ballot, Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. No problem. Agenda item number 23 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CS commercial service district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the south line of Ravenview Road, east of Garden Springs Drive. Agenda item number 25 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU1 mixed-use tract on property on an internal lot northwest of the northwest line of Bryan Street and southwest or Burlew Street. Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. And we have a motion and a second. Second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 24 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for MU3 mixed-use district uses and a utility or government installation other than listed limited to a courthouse and offices on property for a radio, television, or microwave tower on the southeast corner of Greenville Avenue and Blackwell Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 26 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Thank you.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. Maximum floor area for a community service center is 2,000 square feet.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 28 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a mini warehouse use on property with a D liquor control overlay on the southeast corner of Military Parkway and North St. Augustine Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 59 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. Sir, you do have 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings and stay to the topic. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Michael Coker, 3111 Canton Street, Dallas, Texas, representing the applicant in this case. This property is currently zoned CR, and we're asking for a specific use permit for a mini warehouse on property that the current property owner has held for almost 35 years. There have been a number of requests not to change zoning, but to put allowable uses on this that didn't make because there was neighborhood opposition. In this particular case, we don't have any opposition from any of the people that we've noticed. And in addition to that, at the request of Commissioner Houston, who was acting as the commissioner while there was a vacancy in this district, we put together an initial community meeting with the Neighborhood Association and the Crime Watch group in order to brief them on what we wanted to do, show them the exhibits that we had. And on the afternoon of that meeting that was scheduled for Prairie Creek Branch Library, the head of the Homeowners Association called me and said, nobody wants to come to the meeting, they're not interested. And so we canceled that. Then Commissioner Houston asked us again to do a different set of notices. We sent out by hand 3,000 notices to every single family, townhome, or condominium within the geography south of us, west of us, and northwest of us to make sure that every property owner or every person living in a house, a condominium, or a townhome was noticed about this next meeting that we had. We set the meeting up for in the evening at the Prairie Creek Branch Library. It was scheduled for 7 o'clock. I stayed until 7:30, and the only person who showed up was Commissioner Houston. Lastly, the council member for the district asked us to come to her town hall meeting, where I had an opportunity to brief the audience there on what we were trying to accomplish. We had several questions, none in opposition, just questions about the mechanics of it and whether or not we were going to store boats and RVs, which we are not. With that, Mr. Mayor, we have also done a survey of self-service opportunities within 6 miles around this property, and there are no vacancies for any spaces within the 6 existing self-storage places within that geography. And with that, Mr. Mayor, we request respectfully that you support the recommendation of the City Planning Commission. I'm glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Young.
I move to deny the zoning change.
Motion and a second for denial. Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, I very reluctantly chose to speak out against what I think is something that's extremely unfair. And as I always like to maintain up front, I have absolutely zero financial interest in this property. I'm not receiving a brokerage fee, consulting fee, nothing. I've never owned this property, do not intend to own or be a part of this construction activity or anything. But I this is very near my district, and I've lived out in that area a long time. I've practiced real estate there for 38 years, been former Chamber of Commerce chairman, among other things. Been noted and a respected leader in that community a long time. And I know these gentlemen to be honorable men. They're trying to develop this. I've known them in the past. They've developed other properties here. I've always noted them to be very positive in whatever developments that they've chosen to do. They even assisted the city in purchasing, you know, land right behind there, you know, for the water tower that is there currently. So there's remaining about 3 acres of land. They've owned it since 1981. This is the last piece of property that they own, Southeast Dallas. And they've tried really ardently to do something very positive in the community. And at each time, they've been thwarted in their efforts. You know, every time that they've tried to do something, it was indicated the community is opposed to it. If you know anything about power lines, there's major transmission lines that go over that property just to the south. There's something, you know, in the technical terms known as PCBs, and these power lines have a tendency to throw those off. You've only got 3 acres. You really can't develop apartments or houses, townhomes, condos, anything, and nobody would anyway because of these heavy transmission lines. No church or daycare, charter school, they wouldn't be interested. The community was opposed to any retail there. They had a development plan, I think, once upon a time to have a gas station convenience store with beer and wine. That was turned down. I think they've promoted a restaurant or something, and they're not in favor of that. So point is, the community is not, it's not their land. They just feel like it's convenient. It's an opportunity to say no, or certain people say no. I think there's a fairly limited number of people that initially said no, but I think there's been an orchestration to find a lot of no's and maybe even petitions to that effect. Again, just for the record, you know, staff recommended that this be approved. CPC, including our councilwoman that's in her district, her CPC commissioner, he voted in favor. It was 15-0. You can see clearly with Mr. Coker's comments that they've made a number of efforts to meet with the community, and there was no interest in meeting there. The meetings that they've had, that they have promoted, has been a lack of attendance. 59 notices were sent out. 1 was for, 0 in opposition. They've spent about $200,000 to hold this property. There's been illegal dumping there. They've had to mow it. They've had liability insurance. They've paid property taxes 35 years. Every single time out, they've tried to go out and make something happen to end their involvement in this property. And instead, a few have decided that, oh, we just don't want that. You know, they'll sell drugs out of those many warehouses. Well, folks, you could sell drugs out of a gas station, an apartment, a house, a vehicle, or you could just sell drugs on the street corner. That is just really not, I think, a fair-minded assessment of the entire situation. So right now it's a dog run, it's a trash catch. You know, nothing can be done there. It's a leftover piece of property. And I just feel like I had to speak out. I don't like to go over into somebody else's district. That didn't give me any great joy to be able to do that. But on my business card, it also says I'm a Dallas City Councilman. And when I see disparity or unfairness, then I have to speak out. And that's why I'm speaking out today. Also, these guys have stipulated that they're willing to accept an SUP for 10 years. So if it's a problem for the community, there's an option to renew it. They don't have to renew it. But allow these people to amortize their investment, their involvement. That's the only fair thing to do. And I just really encourage you, council people, to not say, oh, well, I don't want her coming into my district and opposing something there. I don't want that. Do the right thing. You're elected to come down here and do what's right for the citizens of Dallas. And that's why I'm speaking out, because this is the right thing to do. Let them build on this property. Let them invest on this property. Let them make something positive happen so they can get out from under this. And again, if it is a problem for the community, then so be it. 10 years from now, don't renew the SUP. The doors are going to be turned in. They've allowed that they would not have any boats or trailers, any outside storage. You're going to have vegetation around the fence. You're going to have a nice product, a nice building for them to be able to earn income on this 35-year investment. So it's just not right for the elected representative to go out and choose to do that. I'm sure in a moment they'll come waving, look at all these petitions I had. Well, where was the opposition when they asked? 3,000 notices within this geography were sent out. Nobody was opposed to it. Nobody was opposed to it. But there'll be petitions way, hey, we don't want it, we don't want it. I want us, we need to choose to be a leader. We need to choose to be a leader today. When there is a little bit of opposition, we need to go to those people as the elected representatives and say, guys, here's why we should support this development, because these guys have tried to do something positive. They have a constitutional right to use this property in some way to get a return on their investment. That's what America's all about. So I urge you to step aside once and to say that you're going to do the right thing on this council rather than just sidestep this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Young.
Thank you. You know, there's a theme today of fake news, and so I want to clear up a few things because there have been some alternative facts presented already, and I see that's the theme of the day. I'm looking at the record here. It was a vote of 14-0, not 15-0. District 7 had a vacancy at the time. There was not, it's already been said on the record, so I want to clear the record. There was not a District 7 appointee at the time. So there were several other facts. The council person that was duly elected to represent District 7 has not passed around one petition, not one. Y'all can open record request it. Not one has been passed around. And I think it's, you know, very unfortunate that we have these personal attacks coming around this horseshoe as we get closer to election time. But let me say there's something called neighborhood self-determination that I campaigned on that I believe strongly in. And there are many neighborhoods around this property, not just the one that is the Prairie Creek neighborhood. I grew up in the neighborhood. I grew up in Pleasant Grove. As a matter of fact, I grew up in District 5, but I don't go making decisions on behalf of District 5. Let me be clear about that. We did call a town hall meeting where we discussed, colleagues, several zoning cases that were coming up in District 7. Because unlike North Dallas, our neighborhoods are not organized. We don't have consultants who are trained by their council members to send postcards out that they pay for to the community and invite the council member. I personally paid people to go out and put flyers on doors for that particular town hall meeting. So we're trying to organize our community so that they can participate in neighborhood self-determination and understand what it is that they would like to see around their neighborhoods. What are the uses? Can they do land use studies? Can they do neighborhood plans, area plans? teaching the community what the different zoning uses are about. So, yes, for a first-time meeting, constituents were a little afraid to speak out. And so we did pass out cards at that meeting that we received back. We received opposition. I think I've been very clear and very vocal around this horseshoe that I believe, it is my belief, that the notification area in many instances is not large enough. The net is not cast wide because you, in our community, unlike North Dallas, the density is not there. You have vacant homes. You have blighted properties. You have renters in the community. So people may or may not, they don't know what the red and white signs mean when they see them. In our communities, the red and white signs come down. And unless the council member calls it in, the community doesn't even know. And they say, Councilwoman Young, how did this auto shop get right here in front of our house with this ugly fence? What is going, how do we prevent that? They don't even know what the color cards are that come in the mail to their homes, to know that they have the right to respond. They don't know that. And so, yes, I did receive opposition from constituents. No, we did not have someone in place at that time. And, again, I would ask this horseshoe to honor the request of the constituents of District 7 that would have to look outside their window and have elected to say that is not the use they would like to see for their area. I would also like to suggest to the applicants and thank them for coming to the meeting. I would also like to suggest to them there's a very healthy food bank that is there that Minister Karen Belknap hosts, and they are looking for property near the church where they can expand their ever-growing food bank. And so I'm sure they may be interested. I'm not sure. But to also say that drugs would be sold out of storage, I didn't hear that come up one time at the town hall meeting that we hosted, and to insinuate that that's what the constituents of District 7 are saying, my office just has not heard that, and I think that's offensive.
Miss, that's it. Ms. Callahan?
Yeah, just to clear up more fake news, the fact is that they reached out to the councilwoman. It took them two months to even have a dialogue with her on this thing. Then also, I tried myself personally 2 weeks to sit down and have a rational discussion, and it was just she kept avoiding everything to be able to do that. The reason that I said there was opposition, because when we had another discussion after she pulled this and delayed it last time, she waved up a handful. I got petitions, you know, she held them in her hand, so that's why that situation came up. But when they said that, Councilwoman, if you won't support mini storage, public storage, then what will you support? Her response was, I don't know. Just go back to the drawing board and bring me something else. Now, that's not leadership. That's not leadership at all. You know, that is so unfair. And, again, they should have responded.
Hello?
They had all kinds.
First on the fact, really?
They had all kinds of opportunities.
You also told me you sold the land.
Hold on. Respond when they sent out those 3,000 notices.
Guys.
They had several public meetings that they could have come out and spoke at. But instead, I felt like it was orchestrated, this opposition. But it's not fair. It's just not fair at all. And this has nothing to do with the election at all. This is just comes down strictly to fairness. These guys have just not been treated fairly at all. And I just resent the way this whole thing has come down.
Okay. Thank you. Let's keep off the personal stuff. Ms. Arnold.
Move the question.
Thank you. No one else talking? So I'm going to call the question. All in favor say aye. Aye. Those that opposed? Mr. Callahan. Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item 29 is a public hearing for, number one, a CR community retail district with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant, and number two, a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise store 3,500 square feet or less on property with an ordinance granting a CR community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on the west corner of South Beltline Road and Garden Grove Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 54 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and 11 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to address the City Council in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the CR Community Retail District with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant and denial of a specific use permit? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, Mayor. I move to hold this the latest until the February 22nd meeting.
A motion and a second for deferral till 22nd. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I have the results for the Park and Recreation Board Vice Chair for the term of 2015-2017. Sean D. Johnson, 8 votes. Jesus Moreno, Jr., 7 votes. Mr. Johnson will be Vice Chair. Thank you to both of those individuals for serving our city.
Agenda item number 30 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2099 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property with a D1 liquor control overlay and deed restrictions on the southwest corner of Great Trinity Forest Way and North Jim Miller Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Yes, Mayor. Can we come back to this one?
For how long?
Give me about 15 minutes.
Okay. Move to item 31.
Agenda item 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 937 for R-7.5A single-family district uses and an open enrollment charter school on the southwest corner of Corrigan Street and South Ewing Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 187 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 8 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. 3 minutes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings and state to the topic.
Tommy Mann, 2728 Harwood, representing the applicant. The purpose of this request is simply to add a sign, 2 signs to the building, 1 for the middle school, 1 for the elementary school, and we're in agreement with the CPC recommendation. Happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Arnold.
Yes. I have moved the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission, but as a part of this motion, I direct staff to conduct a site visit during drop-off and pickup times to ensure that the traffic management plan works as submitted, and for staff to inform me when the traffic management plan update is submitted of 2018 of March.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yes. Am I not going to be second?
Ms. Alonzo seconded.
Right. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I thought you said
second.
That. What? Ms. Young. Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
You didn't ask for discussion.
Please, Ms. Arnold.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean this stuff.
The reason that I am have signaled you, Mayor, to add additional comments is because with us having the new city manager, and I'm calling him out again to put his eyes on this very concerning topic. You all remember a couple of months ago when we had the debate on the charter school in District, I think it was 3, and I had constituents who lived in District 3 or had property. And the issue, as Councilwoman Young mentioned, the whole practice of informing and engaging the community so they are able to respond to applicants who want to change the behavior or the culture of a community. And so some of these signs and the signage that we see posted up oftentimes does not give the community the notice that they need. And so we need to look at that because so many of our communities are being preyed on because they don't understand. They've not been educated on this whole practice of zoning. And so I'm speaking out because my district is often victimized by this practice. And so I want it to be on record that moving forward, new city manager, Mr. Broadnax, is that you will look at the department and the practices so that we can begin to engage more people and address. And I love to hear Ms. Neva Dean come up before us and and give her a statement as to who was notified. But oftentimes, and what I see happening, and this leads to eminent domains and buyouts and what have you, is that if we're giving notification to the owners don't always live in the homes. And that happened here in the previous charter school case that we dealt with. So I know we're talking about also with traffic management. That comes a part of the process. What I've noticed here with some of the cases that I've dealt with is that, and I have too, where the traffic management of the request for update on the management plan basically is ignored by these charter schools and businesses. And we don't have a mechanism in place that kicks out this information when the schools or other businesses are delinquent. And sometimes we wait 2, 3, 4, 5 months, years. And unless someone brings it to the attention of the zoning department or staff, these people get away with murder. And so our neighborhoods are victimized by some of the behaviors of some of these properties. Now, I did go out to visit this school, and had I been on council at the time, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have supported the location, because it's not a healthy location for the children. I went to the school, and I looked at the traffic, and I saw staff walking down the street to get to their cars. So that tells me that they were not parked on campus for a reason. So, but I hear complaints about the traffic. So what's going on is the zoning. Evidently, they were not engaged. So I'm very concerned about this practice, and I'm going to keep underscoring the practice. I think the school is fine. I'm going to always speak on behalf of the children. I want them to have access to education, but I want them to be safe. I want them to have the ability to walk to school safely. I don't want them to have to walk down the street for their aunt to pick them up after school and get hit by a car or fall down on the sidewalk that's cracked. So I want to go on record supporting education, but make sure we understand with these schools that you respond to the city when you're supposed to have a traffic management plan that works and is not always put on the back of our Dallas Police Department to get out to direct traffic, because it costs us more money to do that. So I wanted to put that on the record, and just speaking for District 4 at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion is carried. We can go back to item 30. We already read it in the record, so I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. I move to defer this item to February 22nd.
No. We had a motion to defer till 22nd. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Who made the second?
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 32 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF1A multifamily district on property on the south corner of Sam Houston Road and Masters Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 42 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor?
One person
speakers
coming?
In opposition? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
In favor?
Sir, are you wanting to speak on the item? Okay. We have a gentleman coming forward speaking in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve. So you do have 3 minutes. You'll notice the timer. State your name and address for the record, please.
Mr. Mayor. I am volunteering a deed restriction that you have.
Excuse me?
I say I am volunteering a deed restriction that you all have in possession of.
Oh. Yes, go ahead and speak. We've got it. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Sir, can we have your name, please?
Phineas Forezzo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Ms. Young.
I move to approve this change in zoning as recommended by the City Plan Commission, subject to the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant.
The motion is second. Any discussion, Ms. Young?
Yes, I just want to thank the applicant. They also attended the community town hall meeting, as I've already discussed. There was healthy discussion there, and they explained to the community that And they offered deed restrictions that this would not be a multifamily apartment site, which concerned the community. But it, in fact, will be something I'm excited about, is we champion those efforts to improve quality of life for our senior adults, that this will be a small facility that our seniors can age in place, just a small number of units that we don't often, that we really don't have south of the Trinity. And so this is the way for folks to take care of their parents in their neighborhood and have a nice place for them to send their parents to age in place. So thank you so much for the project.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to ask Ms. Young, I didn't have a chance to read all the restrictions. Is it age restricted in the deed restrictions? That's one way of making sure it doesn't turn into multifamily.
I think it is deed restricted for senior living, or I don't know the exact terminology, for senior facilities.
The use is actually a convalescent nursing home, but it's a like an assisted living, but multifamily is not allowed, period.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 33 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-7.5A single-family district on property with a D1 liquor control overlay and deed restrictions on the northwest corner of Haymarket Road and Oakwood Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 8 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
We have a second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 34 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CS Commercial Service District on property on the south side of Crown Road, east of Newberry Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 17 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 4 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. 3 minutes, sir?
Yeah, cool.
No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and move this item forward, like approved by the City Plan Commission.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Thank you. Any discussion? Ms. Alonzo? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda item 35. By making and seconding the motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case, and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for the adoption, the item will require 2 seconds. Agenda item 35 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the east line of North Central Expressway north of Meadow Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 72 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates?
Move for approval.
A motion is second.
Seconds,
any discussion?
2 seconds, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 36 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of one unimproved property acquired by the taxing authorities from the Sheriff to Citywide Community Development Corporation, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize the city manager to, number one, quit claim one unimproved property to Citywide Community Development Corporation, and number two, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment and post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I was engaged in some note-taking. Now,
where do we go?
Motion to approve. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Y'all bear with me.
A second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 37 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of four unimproved properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff to South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize the city manager to, number one, quit claim four unimproved properties to South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation, and number two, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment and post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Young.
Motion to approve.
A motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Oh, Ms. Young, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I just want to again say thank you to ICD for the work that they continue to do in the Mill City community. This is yet another organization that is participating in affordable housing programs in the city of Dallas. I want to highlight the fact, despite the alternative facts that are out there, that I do support affordable housing. I do support low-income housing, and that I will not be in violation of HUD rulings or court orders, and that I would never do something that would be against my constituents as long as it's legal and good because of any individual. So I stand in support of this item. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items, Mr. Mayor. There are no afternoon speakers.
Meeting is adjourned at 1:45 p.m. Thank you.